Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all, or most of you all. I'm going to have the pleasure of being with you for today and next week as well. But today, you may already be aware, is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Everybody familiar with that? Okay. So I thought we ought to take a look at what God's Word says about life. And anyway, so we're going to spend a little bit of time in God's Word at first, and then, because I'm involved with the Pregnancy Resource Center of Owosso, which is just there by the car dealership, I want to share a little bit of what's going on with that ministry, and then ask if you'd like to help us with that. So, anyway, that's our layout for the morning. So let me begin by praying for us. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you are the giver of life, both physical and spiritual, through Jesus. And Lord, the only thing that you require is our humility to realize that we are sinners in need of your grace and salvation, and to trust and give our lives to Jesus fully and completely as Lord. And so, Father, just pray that we look into your word and that we understand it. And we do thank you for organizations like the PRC, the Pregnancy Resource Center, as they continue to offer and help families that are struggling and debating, and to offer hope and help in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's take a look. Open your Bibles or your Bible app to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're going to take a look at verse 13 to 16. Probably be familiar to you, I hope. God's Word says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was not one." Beautiful psalm, talking about the amazing 9 months of pregnancy or whatever, you know. Anyway, since our daughter-in-law is expecting, is particularly poignant to me. Anyway, so we see very clearly God's creative involvement in giving life. And it's clearly laid out, but amazingly enough, I'm a kind of a numbers guy, so I liked the there was a American Worldview Inventory. Worldview, you know, that's how you look at the world. What you understand is real and how things work. In 2020, so this is fairly recent, survey that Arizona Christian University did, they found that 44% of self-identified Christians, in other words, people that said, "I'm a Christian," whatever they think that means, said that they think the Bible is ambiguous in its teaching about abortion. 44%, that's almost one in two. I mean, that really shocked me. I was very surprised that. Anyway, 34% of that group then said abortion is morally acceptable if it spares the mother from financial or emotional discomfort or hardship. So about one in three said it's okay if it creates a hardship of some kind, either emotional or financial. That disturbs me. That's just scary. So we need to look at some other scriptures. If you don't think Psalm 139 is clear enough, you know me, I love to look at different things, God's Word, because God's Word tells us how to interpret other parts of God's Word. You know, we need to have a systematic theology, I guess. So, let's look at Genesis 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, verse 1. Give you a second to turn there. The timeline, the setting of this, is after Noah and his family came out of the ark from being saved, literally, on the water, out of the flood. 9 verse 1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You ever stop to think about just how just amazing that sounds? Because it's like, okay, God just passed judgment on the people of the world of that time and wiped them out with the flood, saving Noah and his family because of their faith. And yet, what's he say? Go do it. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, you just think about that. It frankly doesn't make sense to me, fortunately. Doesn't matter whether it makes sense to me. It made sense to God, so he has a plan. But that just floors me. It's like, okay, go and multiply, fill the earth. I've just wiped it out, but, you know, start over. So realize that harks back to Genesis chapter 1, God's creation, verse 28, where he says, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, it's the same command. God's plan doesn't change. It's important to think about. From the beginning of creation, that was still the plan. Be fruitful, multiply. Things had gotten so wicked by the time of Noah that God passed judgment, wiped them out, starts over, but it's still the same command. So we still have. God hasn't retracted that because God's always interested in both physical life and spiritual life. And I think there's a parallel there. I think that's why he wants us, if we look at the Great Commission, to go make disciples, right? It's a giving of life. It's a giving of spiritual life. It's a parallel to the giving of physical life. So God's all about life. I mean, that to me should be pretty obvious. But in case it's not, let's look at one other verse. Jeremiah chapter 7. We'll look at 30 and 31 if you want to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 30 and 31. You know, you want to be Bereans. You don't want to just believe me because I'm the guy that's standing up here. You want to see it for yourself too. So that's why I want to give you the reference.
First
one. Verses 30 and 31. Chapter 7 of Jeremiah. Says, for the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set detestable things in the house that is called by my name, the temple of that time, to defile it. And they built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come to my mind. So Jeremiah is speaking on behalf of the Lord. This guy, where did you guys ever get this idea that child sacrifice was a good thing? So Jeremiah makes it really clear. That's not ever been God's command. God's about life. He's not about death. So some people have criticized us. Well, that's the Old Testament, you know, it's the New Testament times. That's not specifically, you know, dealt with. Silence as a way to build your theology is not a good plan. Just, you know, let's look at what God says until he changes it. That's still God's word. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's the same God speaking to us. So let's take a look. I find this just a fascinating story. Luke chapter 1. And having just celebrated Christmas, this may be familiar depending on how you celebrate Christmas, if you read the Christmas story and what leads up to the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1, let's look at 41 through 44. Luke chapter 1, 41 to 44 says, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, okay, Elizabeth is in Mary, the Virgin Mary, Christ's mother. She's like, I can't remember the exact relationship, but, you know, she's a relative of, okay? And Elizabeth is having a baby way beyond normal time frame. So it's a miraculous baby anyway, because she's past the time of childbearing. Sounds like a familiar story. Abram was referred to this morning. Abraham and Sarah, same thing. Past the age of childbearing, and yet God gave them a child. Same thing. Elizabeth is now expecting the person that we know as John the Baptist, our forerunner, Dalton Hill Baptist. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, and when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. This is an unborn child, right, in the womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Okay, so Mary is already carrying Jesus. So we have John the Baptist in utero, in the womb, and we have Jesus in the womb. And the two mothers are having this communication, and yet the babies are very much a part of that. You know, it's really a great picture of there's life even in the womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So it's obviously not your just usual, you know, nudging around in there, but a leaping for joy. And that's what's recorded for us. Pretty cool. All right. So the Old Testament definitely does speak to life in the womb. So our Creator God is the giver of life. He's the one. And we get to cooperate for that. I understand how it works. But then God can step in and do things miraculously. We believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, meaning that God is the Father, but Mary is the mother, right? Because some people have wanted to go back and say, well, no, Joseph, yeah, no, no. But we needed God to be the Father because Jesus had to be God in the flesh. Yet, because he's born of Mary, he identifies with us and our weaknesses, our sinfulness. Make sense? Okay. So, he's the giver of life, and that includes unborn babies in the womb. And as I mentioned, he directs us to be reproductive, both physically and spiritually, as we obey the Great Commission and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, would you like to guess what is a life worth in Oklahoma? I have some Oklahoma statistics to share with you. What's a life worth in Oklahoma? Anybody want to guess? That's good. Yeah, it's a semi-trick question. I agree.
Mineral rights.
Well, I mean, according to God, we know it's priceless. But according to the world, what's a life worth? Anybody want to guess? Not much, but throw out a number. I'm just curious. Anybody?
1,000.
1,000?
100,000.
100,000. Life's worth 100,000. Okay. All right. So I just want you to chew on this for a minute. All right. We're gonna pause, and I'd like to show you a video from the Pregnancy Resource Center. This is one of the mentors. Now, as Jerry's getting it set up, let me explain. The mentoring program, the Pregnancy Resource Center offers testing for pregnancy, ultrasounds, sexually transmitted disease testing, those kinds of things on the medical side. And if the folks that come in want to participate, then they enter the mentoring program, and through the mentoring program are able to earn credits toward being able to shop for everything that they need for the baby in the boutique. Okay, so that's kind of the basic construct. We'll get to that a little bit more. But anyway, so this is one of the mentors sharing her story without the Pregnancy Resource Center. She didn't have that kind of support. All right, so video one, let's see.
I became unexpectedly pregnant a few months before graduating high school. I had a great support system with my family and friends, but I wonder what it would have been like if I would have had the Pregnancy Resource Center. When I found out I was pregnant, the doctor slid a card across the table to my mom and I and said, there are ways to take care of this. And I told him no, that I was not going to abort my baby and that I was going to have her. She just recently found out that that option was presented to me. She also found out that I obviously said that there was no way that, you know, I knew that I wanted to be a mom. And So I believe that, you know, that's really played a part in her life and how she views me. You know, back in that time when girls my age found out they were pregnant, it was definitely, you didn't have a lot of people rooting for you. They expected very little of you. What I wish I would have had that the PRC offers is the support system. Just knowing that there's other people that are going through the same thing and that you have people that are on your side and in your corner and support you and want to cheer you on and see you be successful. Also, it would have been great to know more of what to expect during the birthing process. The PRC is great with all the videos that they provide and the tools they provide to prepare the girls for that, as well as how to care for a baby. At 18 and having a baby, it's very overwhelming, and there's just so much to know, and the PRC just provides so much information. I mentor because I want the girls to know that it is possible to go ahead and live your life and be successful and do all the things that you had planned to do before. It might just be a little bit tougher, but it's definitely, I would say, much more rewarding.
So that's Megan's story. She's one of the mentors. I mentor the fathers, not necessarily the husbands, obviously, in some cases. But anyway, she's one of the mentors for the girls. So you get to hear her story. She didn't have a PRC kind of a thing, but fortunately, she chose life and had family support, she said. So anyway, I just wanted to share her story with you a little bit. Okay, so Oklahoma State Department of Health has what they call the Abortion Survey Surveillance Summary, and it's information from the early 2000s up to 2019, so it's fairly, you know, it's fairly current. The majority of abortions are performed and paid for privately. That was kind of interesting. I somehow was under the impression that the government was paying for most of them, but that's not true. They're mostly paid privately. And so now we get to the question, what is a life worth? Most abortions are performed for $500 to $700. $500 to $700. You know what? In this survey, they ask the women for the reason that they chose that. And so, it's a wide scale, but do you know what the number one most reported reason for having an abortion is? Anybody want to guess?
No support. No support.
Money. No financial support. Yep. That was the number one reason. Very interesting. And yet you spend $500 to $700 to end the life. Scratch my head. Don't quite understand that. But anyway, so about 99% are paid privately, not governmentally. According to this, you know, this is a long-term report. So, anyway, on the good side, because we have to kind of weigh, that's the bad news. But the good news, there's a group called Elevate Life USA, and they say that the work of organizations like the Pregnancy Resource Center, about every 4 minutes a life is saved. Wow. I mean, that's exciting. So, some good news we can celebrate. There are people working to save lives. All right? So, every 4 minutes. So now, I want to share a video summary. I've told you a little bit about what the PRC does, but I'm going to let a former board member now, Becca, tell you a little bit more about what's going on. So, we'll run the second video, please. Can everybody hear the first one okay?
Unplanned pregnancy is a frightening and overwhelming situation, regardless of your age, gender, or marital status. Some have the support of their family and friends during these emotional times, while others have no support at all, which is exactly why the Pregnancy Resource Center exists. I'm reminded of a story when a young couple came in for a pregnancy test. It was obvious their relationship was on the rocks. They quickly stated their plan was to get an abortion as they did not want to complicate their life any further. To be honest, we were surprised when they returned for their scheduled ultrasound. As they watched their baby's heart beating on the screen, the couple was surprised as we explained how their baby is fully alive, has all of its body parts, and can even feel pain. When the ultrasound was over, we handed Dad the printed pictures and watched his eyes filled with tears when he read the words, "Hi, Mom and Dad," on the picture. It was at that moment that both parents committed to having this baby. Our prayer and goal is for every story to end like this one. But across the nation, nearly 4 out of 10 pregnancies result in abortion. Believe it or not, abortion is currently the number one killer of Americans. Each year, nearly 1 million precious lives are lost to abortion, which surpasses the number of lives lost to heart disease or cancer. For those facing unplanned pregnancy, abortion is often the first option considered. It seems like a quick and simple fix, when in actuality, it's far from it. The Pregnancy Resource Center makes a difference between life and death by providing a safe place to receive medical care and support for those facing unplanned pregnancies. No one should have to face this journey alone. At the PRC, we provide pregnancy testing, limited ultrasounds, and screening for sexually transmitted diseases at no cost to the client. Studies demonstrate that if a woman sees her unborn baby on an ultrasound, in nearly 90% of instances, she will choose life for her child rather than abortion. We also provide continued support by pairing both the mother and father with one of our mentors, where they learn about pregnancy, parenting, relationship skills, and overall life skills. They earn points at each meeting, which can be redeemed for much-needed supplies, such as diapers, clothing, strollers, and even a new car seat. And if you are a parent, you know how challenging it can be to care for an infant, which is exactly why we continue to provide support even after the baby is born. The services we provide extend far beyond what can be seen or demonstrated in this life. The simple action of providing love that is free from judgment is the best gift we can possibly give another human being. Become a partner with the PRC today by volunteering, becoming a mentor, giving financially, and even lifting us up in prayer. When you partner with the PRC, you help make a difference between life and death.
She does it so much better than I can, but anyway. That kind of gives you, those pictures are shot inside the PRC. The boutique that you saw were all the baby items that, you know, that's all what is going on there. Now, the challenge, of course, has been the pandemic. So what I want to assure you is the ministry of the PRC is continuing. It's just we've had to adjust and do some things differently. Like right now, I'm currently mentoring using Zoom. Those of you, you know, familiar with Zoom as a video conferencing platform. And so I set up the Zoom meeting and I reach out to my mentee and, you know, once we have a time set. So I'm seeing him, I'm just not face-to-face, you know. So you learn to adjust. Same thing because of the pandemic with the boutique, we've had to, you know, shut that down. We can't have a bunch of people in there at a time. You know, we have to schedule things a little more rigidly and all those kinds of things. But I do want to assure you the PRC ministry is continuing, even in the face of the difficulties that the pandemic has thrown to us. So, you may be aware that 2019, I guess, goodness, because 2020 we couldn't have the banquet, but many of you participated in the last banquet that we were able to have, and so because we couldn't have that, now we're trying to figure out, okay, what do we do for fundraising? So this is both wanted to look at what God says about life, and then also I want to challenge you, if you would like to support the PRC financially, I know you weren't expecting this today, so if you're ready to give today, that's great, but otherwise, next week, if you will, bring an offering, and on the memo line of your check, just put PRC, and that way we'll know that's not your normal tithe. Let me just be sure everybody knows tithe goes to the local church, and an offering is beyond the tithe, and that goes to whatever other Christian ministry you'd like to support. So I don't want to take anything away from the church tithe, but if you would like to give in addition, as God has blessed you, taken care of you, anybody got a stimulus check? Anyway, yeah, you want to give a tithe, you know, whatever. Anyway, just some ideas. So anyway, the PRC really needs the support because it's been, as you can imagine, very difficult because we can't do things as normal. So instead, if you'd like to be a part of life, you've seen the PRC's support, and if you have any questions about that, then feel free to ask me about that later.